Inside Red Bull Bora Hans Grohe, the OVB online podcast on the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany team manager Ralf Denk and the biggest and most successful German cycling team through the Tour de France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.roof@ovbmedia.de. And now enjoy the new episode.
Mathieu van der Poel wins the 21st stage of the Tour de France. Tadej Pogacar is the overall winner for the fifth time. And Remco Evenepoel confidently secures the podium for Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. What was that? He wrote to me. And now I am going to ask him exactly that and much more and discuss many things regarding this Tour de France. With that, good evening to my co-host Corbinian Sauter. Hi, Corbinian.
Hello, Toby, and greetings from Rosenheim.
To Rosenheim, yes, an unusual constellation. You will notice those of you who followed us yesterday after the 20th stage listened. It has become a tradition by now. So Ralf Denk, whom you normally hear and expect here, has an incredible amount on his plate that day in Paris. Ralf said the sponsors are there, the partners are there, family and friends are there. I hope you all saw what was going on in Paris today. We always said, hey, Ralf, enjoy it. There is so much energy in it. Celebrate with your team and we will leave you alone on Sunday evening. But you do not have to miss out on the final analysis from Ralf Denk. We will record that tomorrow. It will be in your feed tomorrow. But yes, Corbinian, let's look back at the Tour de France and how we both experienced it. We were able to cover it here every day, every evening in the podcast with Ralf for 3 weeks now. And let's start right at the end. You asked me the question, what was that? Why don't you start and give the answer yourself? Completely insane, right?
Yes, sensational, an absolute spectacle. Well, I didn't think it would turn into something like that where everything was really included. I mean, I've never seen Pogacar push to his limits in the Tour, for example. Then Van der Poel, who somehow says at the end that he has been focused on this race for a year and since he dropped out last year, even before that, and watched the footage, then the sprinters catch up again. I mean, it really had everything. Then you were there at Montmartre where the fans were going completely wild again. I was sitting here speechless once more and I really enjoyed this final stage.
I don't know how you felt.
Yes, and how fast it all went. Yes, we have now had 3 weeks in effect. I saw almost every minute of the Tour de France and that is the usual thing. You turn on the television and then a stage begins. You naturally pick out your points. Yes, that is where it becomes extremely important. That is where I look more closely and then a stage develops like that. And here was a short warm-up, short clips, the beautiful ones we know from the Champs-Élysées, which then, also represent the recognition of the achievement of everyone who made it to Paris. And then it was bang, 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 and one thing after another. And suddenly there is this group and you naturally saw very, very early on, hey, who is planning something here today? And that colleagues Pogacar and Van der Poel have big plans today was absolutely obvious from the first Montmartre. And when you see it, and I remember last year, I was sitting there completely stunned in front of the TV thinking, hey, Pogacar, you're about to win the whole thing and you're riding as if you hadn't won anything yet.
In the rain as well.
Yes, brutal, brutal. I mean, he doesn't have to take any risks at all. Del Toro, for example, his teammate, he let go right from the start today and said, I'm securing the podium here. No, but that's just not possible with a Tadej Pogacar. And Evenepoel, he tried it too. And that group for a short time, Pedersen, Evenepoel, Van der Poel, Pogacar, with that backdrop, with those images in Paris, wow, that really, really did something to me. And sure, how it developed in the end. Yes, if someone had written a script like that, we would have said, well, we are from the writing profession, Corbinian. Some of our colleagues would have said, come on, guys, that is a bit too much. Yes, and then that scene at the finish line and then Philipsen's hand goes up.
I thought, did Philipsen win?
Philipsen won, yes.
Yes. And then it turns out in the end, Philipsen is cheering for Van der Poel, for his teammate, which rounds out the picture again, because Van der Poel was the one who saved the Tour de France for Philipsen. That would have been a mega disappointing tour for him, because Tim Merlier had absolutely dominated him during the sprint phases. Yes, and if that thing had gone 20 meters longer, Van der Poel wouldn't win it. But hey, yes, I have always liked this sprint royale in Paris very, very, very much. And actually, secretly, I kind of wish it was back. But what am I supposed to say today? I mean, after images like these, a stage like this, this enthusiasm, no, they actually proved me wrong today. So I'm happy to keep it this way. Outstanding.
Definitely, especially since we saw that the sprinters aren't without a chance. If you have a team, Decathlon worked incredibly hard today to get Olaf Kuch back in. He ended up fifth, so it's not like the teams can't come up with a plan. Max Kanter was still annoyed, fourth place.
Awesome, yeah.
Yes, incredibly good. Also, he rode a super tour, that has to be mentioned again. But that doesn't take anything away from anyone. And in return, you get a spectacle for the last, 30, 40 minutes and not just the last 10 seconds, with the rest being a grand parade. I understand that's part of it too, but I think a version like this is a completely different experience for the fans.
Absolutely. We have to find a different solution for the sprint. We talked about that a lot during the tour, and I've been thinking about it to pass that on to Ralph. So let's see if we can try to figure something out for next year. Yeah, an awesome end to a Tour de France. How did you like it overall?
Right, well, I thought there was a lot in there. I would say we also came up with a little something to look back on it specifically. I think we can go into specific moments again, because I think we have already talked enough about every single stage. That is why we have prepared five categories, so to speak, where we will go into our personal highlights again. But I had a lot of fun this year with my stages, definitely.
Yes, I agree. There is an incredible amount in there. At some points, it was too predictable for me. Those underdog stories, which I always really, really like in sports, were a bit lacking. They happened occasionally, but quite rarely, though I think that was partly due to the route.
All in all, a really cool tour. It was fun.
Sure, that factor is always there, but as long as Pogacar rides in this form, we won't see that kind of huge suspense. Somehow you've gotten used to it, because the biggest thing is the overall victory, but if he's in this form in the end, then that really great atmosphere just won't come about anymore.
But yes, I have to consider that even though we are not really talking about the general classification anymore, it is still a tour that offered an incredible amount at the end of the day. And that is why my overall conclusion is actually very, very positive. Shall we dive into the categories?
Definitely, I am ready.
Then let's go. We came up with five, and we'll start with category number one. Surprise of the tour. You can start with your surprise.
I get to start. I picked out a few things that might not be so obvious. And so I am going with Mauro Schmidt. The Swiss rider really impressed me, because these are exactly the stories that get told at the tour. We have one who worked as a car mechanic for his parents and wasn't the big youth talent already. Someone like Mark Hirschi, for example, was much more prominent and sensational this year for Jayco Alula. If you look at what he still has with the team, with Ben O'Connor as captain, Michael Matthews as sprinter, he actually does everything for them. He takes a stage win in a breakaway, sprints to second place behind Jasper Philipsen in another stage, and finishes second again in a tough mountain stage behind Richard Carapaz. Well, it doesn't get much better than that, and he was extremely fun to watch.
Yes, one of the very few underdog stories, that was actually Mauro Schmeer. So, good pick, I can agree with that.
What is your surprise?
Yes, my surprise is
not an underdog. Yeah, well, you definitely can't say that, but Remco Evenepoel's performance in the high mountains, wow, honestly, I didn't see that coming. I mean, after past experiences, and then we see the Tourmalet relatively early on, and I thought, wow, will the plan to get Evenepoel on the podium actually work after those sequences at the start, where he really had trouble on almost every climb whenever things got intense? I thought to myself, wow, he can ride and gain all the time he wants.
He will have to do it on these last three Alpine stages, which are written Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and after that, you have no chance. You saw it today, trying to set things right. I could not have imagined that he could keep up in the high mountains the way he did. That surprised me extremely, and Ralf said it yesterday. It is the best Evenepoel in the high mountains of his career so far, and people kept talking about it. Yes, he lost 4 kilos, that was always said publicly. Ralf never confirmed that exactly, but he hinted at it himself. And what does that actually mean? Does that automatically mean, hey, I lose 4 kilos and can then basically ride along in the high mountains with ease?
If you keep up that performance, yes.
Yes, and he did just that. And this whole training plan, taking him out of the calendar extremely early, not letting him race anymore, comes with an absolute risk. And that could have really blown up in his face, but it paid off completely.
The team as well, Ralf mentioned it yesterday too, about Giles, who kept getting better, Hindley, who kept getting better towards the end. Mm-hmm. Think back to the beginning too. We also received many messages from you, the listeners.
I could totally understand that. Hey, what is going on with the team? They weren't present at all in the beginning, but it was truly strategic master planning with an Evenepoel who then finished it off in the end. And I wouldn't have thought he was that strong in the high mountains. And you have to say, Evenepoel is positioning himself for a Tour de France victory. We all do not know how much longer Pogacar will keep going. He has often flirted with saying, it is possible that I will stop relatively early. You see, there is only 1 year between the two of them. And Ralf has also said repeatedly in recent years, hey, when someone is so successful so early, a feeling of saturation can eventually arise. Without him knowing any details, of course. But Pogacar says it himself, and it wouldn't surprise me if in 2 years after the Olympics, which is the only thing he's missing, he says, hey, I've won the Tour de France 6 or 7 times. I mean, he's now on par with the greats. And then from a 6th Tour de France win, he would be the record holder. And if he says early on, I'm quitting, you have to position yourself now and get ready and know what I need to win a Tour de France like that. And an Evenepoel with that form in the high mountains with these time trial qualities, we usually have 2 individual time trials and not this short team time trial, which ultimately had no effect on the overall standings at all. If he has 2 individual time trials, perhaps over longer distances, that can ultimately be the foundation to simply hold his own in the high mountains. In my opinion, with that kind of performance in the high mountains, he is putting himself in a perfect position for a post-Pogacar era.
Yes, definitely. I think Pogacar is still under contract until on 2030, but that doesn't mean he'll want to win the Tour every single time until 2030. At some point he might get bored, just like the monuments, he collects them once and then says, I'm not coming back to those cycling classics.
Well, or something happens. We saw how quickly things can change and then he can't ride the Tour. So Remco Evenepoel, that's why it's a surprise for me. Right, let's move on to the disappointment of the Tour. I'll start this time. I chose Team Net Company Ineos. Sure, the plan was to go to the Tour de France with Oscar Only, who finished 4th last year as captain. He then dropped out about 2 weeks before the start of the Tour.
This team, Netcompany Ineos, has a really high budget compared to many other teams.
In the end, Egan Bernal finished in 20th place in the general classification. There are also a great many prominent names involved, and apart from the team time trial right at the beginning.
I honestly barely even noticed this team. And for a squad with such a budget, with so many big name riders, we are talking about the team that absolutely dominated the 2010s. They won the Tour de France 7 times.
Sorry, but that was honestly brutally disappointing for me that after Oscar Onle dropped out, they apparently had no plan B at all. It's a mystery to me.
Absolutely. They have created a brutally high bar with their successes, even back when they were still called Sky. And following that up is tough, but I can still understand it. I can say now that we also need to keep an eye on the time. We are already at the comfortable 16 minutes. Accordingly, there is not much time left. That is why I will quickly move on to my next disappointment. I am also going with a team, but I am picking Team DSM Firmenich Post NL. And there I am back to Oscar Onle, but from last year. That is where he finished fourth for this team.
That one was last in the team standings this year. So last year we made sure he didn't push Florian Lipowitz off the podium. This time they were almost non-existent, but actually still have, at least if you look at the relevant sites, believe a reasonable budget. They also still have Warren Barguil as their captain, wanted to go more for stages, breakaways, of course difficult in this tour, and also nothing against John Degenkolb, who is still riding around there and feels like he is finishing his 100,000th tour. I have the utmost respect for the guy, but there was extremely little from the team, and they are also very, very, very low in the World Tour ranking. And if they keep going like this, they even have to worry that they won't be a World Tour team at some point. That is why this is my disappointment.
Well, Rav said it. Christian Prudhomme says to teams like that, hey, sure, you have the World Tour license. But if they don't have it anymore at some point, then you're just not there anymore because it's going to be difficult that way. Right. Third category is the best stage. I chose number 17, which Jasper Philipsen wins in the end. That brings us full circle to what we saw earlier. Van der Poel leads him out, saving this Tour de France for his teammate. Why did I choose it? This sport is so tightly scheduled. It is so geared towards perfectionism in every area. Nothing is left to chance anymore, and yet there are stages like these that are absolute chaos from the first to the last meter, where even the protagonists cannot explain what happened in the end.
I find that cool because sport must always have a component, especially with in times of Pogacar, when sport still keeps a component of unpredictability, people don't know how it will end. That does the sport a world of good.
Yes, it was a cool stage. It was definitely fun. For me, it was 15-2-2 before, so to speak. That was exactly... We already touched on it the moment it became clear that Evenepoel can handle mountains. They really caused a stir at the front. Wiesma actually wanted to try something, then Vingegaard crashes dramatically in the corner. One of the absolute favorites is out, and a short time later we see exactly the three people who end up on the podium alone at the front. Poggi becomes a super domestique trying to pull the Toro along. Evenepoel is the only one who can still keep up, and yes, the rest is history, as they say. He wins a stage with a lot of elevation gain and a summit finish, and from then on it was clear this could be something.
Right, let's move on to the Tour de France moment. You mentioned Vingegaard's crash. For me, it's unfortunately a sad one too.
When I Florian Lipowitz,
seeing him lying there during the time trial, wow, a little world of cycling collapsed inside me, because despite all the fuss about this dual leadership topic, we all know he actually doesn't like that and he just wants to ride his bike. And then such unrest inevitably arises, also with the statements from Evenepoel beforehand. And he handled that with such composure, just like the way he moves on the bike, he rode his Tour de France. the time trial was over, he was doing extremely well. And then there was always that week, those Lipowitz stages were coming up, they were on the cards, they suit him. That is exactly his profile. That is exactly what he can do. And then you see one mistake, going into that corner too fast, a stupid crash, and it is all over. I felt so sorry for him, and wow, I would have been so curious to see how things would have continued for him. And yes, I am also curious to see how things go in the future. Regarding the dual leadership, I mean, Evenepoel has really staked his claim now, yes. If he stays fit and healthy, I think there won't be much room for debate about the team leader role next year, at least at the start of the Tour de France. With a performance like that, with two stage wins and the overall result, I think it will be really hard for Florian to reach that dual leadership level again. But hey, it is only his second Tour de France ever. Let him maybe ride a Vuelta or a Giro as team leader, and also here perhaps position him for a time after Tadej Pogacar. Super exciting, super interesting. And a real shame how the tour ultimately turned out for him. Yeah, what is your moment of the tour?
I have something a bit more cheerful, though it's also a bit of a mixed bag. I have Thorstein Tran, however you want to pronounce it. No, well, the Norwegian...
To me, they say we have to watch the time, and now 25 pronunciations from Thorstein Tran to get through here.
We could take a look at who had more speaking time in the end, right?
Yeah, okay.
No, well, Thorstein Tran has to abandon the tour after sensationally riding into the yellow jersey beforehand. Uno X Mobility, the Norwegian team, brought so much joy, and yes, he had a personal story of suffering. Takes this yellow jersey, then crashes into the rider in front of him on a descent a day later. That was when Pogacar attacked at the front again and would have taken it from him anyway, but it was, of course, very dramatic that the man in yellow even had to drop out that day, or rather just fought his way to the finish, and then the tour was over for him.
Well, and you said it, a super Tour de France for Norway. And if you compare it, Italy without a stage win, France without a stage win, Spain without a stage win, those are the three countries that host the three Grand Tours. I do not know if that has ever happened before, but I find it extremely intense. We do not even need to talk about Germany anymore. It has been, I think, 5 years since the last German stage win.
But anyway, we're watching the time. That shouldn't be the topic today. Right, last category. Get rid of it.
I'll keep it brief. I have two things. The new rule for the team time trial. I mean, I don't think we'll see team time trials that often in the coming years anyway, but I think it's completely idiotic. To me, that has nothing to do with team time trialing. Just take the first three for the standings, then it is a team time trial. But the way it was implemented, no, it didn't grab me at all. And I also didn't think the layout at the end was that cool, that we saw those three Alpine stages all in a row at the very end. I would have preferred that to be more spread out for the final week.
Yes, I can understand that. In that case, it made some sense to try it out with the team time trial, but of course, a team, when one person arrives, you can debate that. For me, I wrote a bit polemically flat stages. I meant more specifically the flat stages in this tour, because they were really characterized by the fact that up front there was a prize troffer, the Frenchman, mostly alone, sometimes in a pair. And you didn't even get the feeling that he was getting away at all. It was always 1 minute, 2 minutes, and in the end there was a sprint. You have to come up with something. You've already discussed it. Maybe you can create more incentives at small hills, bonus sprints. There is this Red Bull bonus times kilometer thing at the Giro, which they tried out. Don't know if that's the best way, but you have to do something to maybe get some excitement back in there, other than in the last 3 minutes of that stage.
Exactly. I will discuss that with Ralph. I have a small idea, but let's not make a big deal out of it.
Right. Those were our five categories. And for you, that was the tour, my dear Corbinian.
Yes, I'm up again tomorrow. There will be the review with Ralph Denk, just as you are used to. Thank you so much, Corbinian, for the, as always, great collaboration during this Tour de France. And with that, I will send you off on your tour vacation. But hey, we work at the same company. Corbinian will not be off until next July now.
That would be nice. I think we should actually introduce that, working for 1 month and then having 11 months off. Then I could do more, even more sports myself.
You know, our bosses are listening in, yes? When is the Ironman in Hawaii? When is that coming up?
October 10th. Full, I still have a bit left, but the flights are booked. I'm ready, and there is still a lot of work to do until then.
Exactly. Then I am keeping my fingers crossed for you for that. As I said, thanks again for your support during the Tour de France as well. You will hear me and Ralph Denk tomorrow. And Corbinian, you may now say goodbye to our listeners.
Yes, thank you very much for listening. It was a pleasure as always. And hopefully until next year, stay with us. And best regards from Rosenheim.
That was the latest edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the websites of OVB Media and IPEN Media. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode.